Should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options.
So electrified looks different for everyone.
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified diversified.
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
This episode of Radio Atlantic is brought to you by Microsoft Copilot for Security. In the age of AI, we're empowering security teams to better detect and better defend cyber threats. Stay tuned to find out how.
I believe it was in the afternoon, early evening. I was on my way to meet my friends to go bowling.
This is staff writer John Hendrickson. John covers politics for The Atlantic. He's also had a stutter since he was a kid.
I was on the subway, and I got a text from a different friend who sent me a tweet that contained a video. So I held it up to my ear, and I listened to it.
Two nights ago, we all heard Crooked Joe's angry, dark, hate-filled rant of a State of the Union address. Wasn't it? Didn't it bring us together? Remember, he said, I'm going to bring the country together. I'm going to bring it together.
And the thing that jumped out at me was how Trump's audience laughed.
Together. I'm going to bring it together.
I'm Hannah Rosen. This is Radio Atlantic. In his decade or so in politics, Donald Trump often talks like a bully. We know he nicknames opponents. Little Marco, Crazy Nancy, Bird Brain. That one was for Nikki Haley. And now that it's just him and Biden, Crooked Joe, or Sleepy Joe, or he calls him a low IQ individual, or cognitively impaired. But there's one line he hasn't crossed. Until this year.
Through it all, though, he never openly mocked Biden's stutter. It's been this ongoing thing about Biden has dementia, all different versions of that idea. But he didn't outright make fun of Biden for being a person who stutters until January of this year.
That's why Crooked Joe is staging his pathetic fear-mongering campaign event in Pennsylvania today. Did you see him? He was stuttering through the whole thing. He's going, he's a threat to democracy.
Biden had delivered a big speech to mark the anniversary of January 6th.
He's saying, I'm a threat to democracy. He's a threat to democracy. Wow. Couldn't read the word.
Trump has said and done worse things than this, obviously. He's done many, many worse things than this. But the juvenile element of it, there was just something really particular about this. It was sort of uniquely grotesque.
So John and I decided to test out a question. What did Trump supporters really think of him making fun of Biden? If John went to a rally and asked them, what would they say to his face? Before we get there, though, something to know first. A lot of people think of Biden as someone who used to stutter, if they think about it at all. Biden himself has generally talked about it as something he overcame. But when John was covering Biden in the 2020 race, he saw something different. As John described it, in the middle of a speech, Biden would suddenly stop, pinch his eyes closed, thrust his hands forward as if trying to pull the missing sound from his mouth. In Biden, John recognized not a former stutterer, but someone who was working very hard and largely successfully to manage his stutter. In 2020, Biden agreed to sit down for an interview with John, and he shared some painful memories with him, like the nun who made fun of him in seventh grade, Mr. Biden. And in that same article, John, who hadn't written much about his own stutter, shared some of his own memories, like about the kid at baseball camp who would yell, "Stutter boy," and snap his fingers as if John were a dog. After that article came out, something unexpected happened to John. He became a kind of public face of adults who stutter. Like, he even went on TV to talk about the article, something he'd never imagined he'd want to do.
Joining me now, the author of that piece, John Hendrickson, senior politics editor for The Atlantic. John, I'm so glad you're here. This story is very personal to you. You've experienced life with a stutter. What about your experience has helped you identify Joe Biden's? And it's something that most of us just saw as him misspeaking.
People misunderstand stuttering a lot. You know, it isn't merely repetition of a word. It isn't merely blocking on a word. It's tons of things. It's loss of eye contact, as I'm doing at this exact moment. Just because it takes a little longer every now and then to get out a sentence, it doesn't mean that the person doesn't know what they're trying to say.
John got an overwhelming response to the piece. Within days, hundreds and hundreds of people who stutter sent him messages. They swapped stories about growing up with a stutter. And then John went on to write a book about it called Life on Delay. And he got more comfortable talking in public. Here he is again on TV.
Most people don't even know what stuttering is. Barely anybody outside the community or outside the speech language pathologist community even knows that it's a neurological disorder. Pretty much everybody thinks it's just a manifestation of nervousness or anxiety, or that a person is dumb. You know, we have a real antiquated cultural view of this thing.
So John had spent several years dragging people out of those dark ages. And then his friend sent him that video of Trump at the rally imitating the stutter in front of an audience.
Together. I'm going to bring it together.
Why do you think Trump crossed that line? Like, he has not made fun of Joe Biden's stutter for now years. So do you have any guesses about why now?
I think it's notable that the two times Trump has openly done this have both come on the heels of a big Biden speech. In January, it was Biden's pro-democracy speech on the anniversary of the insurrection. Mm-hmm. Trump mocked him, saying, "Duh, duh, duh, democracy." Mm-hmm. And then 2 days after Biden's State of the Union address, Trump mocked him, saying, "He's going to bring this country together.
Now, here is where I would play you some tape of Biden himself talking, because Biden didn't actually stutter on the word together. He actually didn't even say those exact words. Trump is doing more of what John considers a vaudeville impression of Biden, knowing that the president's stutter is a way to attack him. Now, John is a seasoned reporter, and Biden and Trump are politicians, so John isn't worried about their feelings. He is, however, worried about the audience laughing. What does it mean that a crowd heard Trump say "ta-ta-ta" together and found it funny?
It's too easy to roll your eyes and say, "Oh, that's just Trump being Trump," which I think to a degree I can be sympathetic to that argument, but that doesn't mean his supporters, who are also adults, they don't have to laugh. They're either choosing to laugh, or it's an involuntary reaction, and they're naturally laughing.
Did you hear that immediately, or did you have to rewatch it to see that?
I immediately heard it. And that happened back in January as well. And I think that's the thing that compels me to go talk to his supporters this weekend.
Turn right onto Northwoods Boulevard. I guess we're just at the edge of a, like, an airport.
I think this is North Dayton.
North Dayton. Okay.
A week after mocking Biden's stutter, Trump had a rally planned in Ohio.
In a quarter mile, turn right onto North Dixie Drive.
So John and I rented a car and made our way to the tarmac of the Dayton International Airport. John had a pretty specific goal.
I'm less interested in Trump himself and more interested in talking to as many of his supporters as I can and asking them, how do you feel about Trump mocking people with disabilities? I've interviewed many Trump supporters over the past 9 years, and 99.9% of them have been polite, and they don't mock me or make fun of me. It's they're human beings. And so given that Trump has now repeatedly and openly mocked Biden's daughter, and he's previously mocked other disabilities, I'm interested if it bothers his supporters or not, because a topic like disability is bipartisan. It is neutral. It is apolitical.
Well, we hope. We hope. But that's maybe the hypothesis that you're testing. After the break, John and I test the hypothesis with the crowd in Ohio.
We're entering a new era of security. Cyber threats are escalating rapidly. And while tech alone can't eliminate every threat, it can empower security teams to quickly respond to incidents at scale. Microsoft is transforming the industry by innovating to arm teams with the resources necessary to outpace adversaries and operate at machine speed. Microsoft Copilot for Security, powered by generative AI, works alongside defenders. Stay tuned to learn more about Copilot's capabilities after the episode.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Trump shirts, Trump shirts, Trump shirts.
Buy one, get one hats.
I'm amazed at how his rallies have evolved into this kind of Grateful Dead traveling roadshow. Vendors follow him around the country, and even certain attendees follow him around the country.
This is what you mean by the carnival atmosphere. There's like lots and lots of merchants.
I'm amazed at the sheer volume of different t-shirts. Trumpinator, I'll be back. Jesus is my savior, Trump is my president. Trump and Mount Rushmore, and so he's on there, but he's also on a motorcycle. You know, not just food vendors and t-shirt vendors, but everything you can think of. And it truly is this community. It has this weird juxtaposition of being a very jovial, celebratory, warm, and he plays all this nostalgic music. And then he gets up there and he delivers these apocalyptic monologues. So it's just, it's unlike anything else.
We made our way through the vendors, across the windy tarmac, to the line of people waiting to get through security. John and I skipped over the guy in the Media Lies t-shirt and got to work with our informal survey.
Do you have any interest in a brief interview about the event?
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah.
First time you ever seen Trump, or have you seen him before?
First time in person, yes.
There were diehards who traveled hours to be there. Locals just excited he was back in Ohio. A couple of undecideds looking to hear him in person. We would get the basics, and then John would ask if they saw the Georgia rally where Trump had mocked Biden's stutter.
Did you happen to catch any of Trump's Georgia event he did a week ago on Saturday?
I did, as a matter of fact. Rome, Georgia.
I did not. Actually, I didn't even know he was in Dayton until I saw it on TikTok this morning. We jumped in the car and came.
And then the question.
Last week, Trump mocked Biden's stutter. He was saying, like, we're going to bring the country together. Together.
It's not the Christian way to be, and it doesn't. I just feel like it makes Trump look bad when he's probably not a bad person.
This is Cindy Rossbach. She and her husband Todd had different opinions.
After what we've seen from the administration, you know, they want to put him in jail for life. I think he's got every right to do whatever he wants to do at this point.
I disagree, because I think when you make fun of people, it just makes you look bad.
We kept talking to more people. This is Melina from Chillicothe, Ohio.
He's going to say what he says. When he was in office, our economy was great. We got along with every other country. That's all I care about.
And Vanessa Miller from Cincinnati.
Trump is a good man. He's not perfect. Biden is not handicapped. He's just an ass, and he does not care about this country. So if Trump made fun of Biden, well, like I said, he's not perfect, but it wasn't about a disability. It was about how he has made this country dysfunctional, not disabled.
A lot of people just detoured into the mental acuity lane. Here's Sharon from the Dayton area.
The president that we have today can't speak. He can't walk. He can't talk. And he's definitely not thinking for himself. He's not making the decisions. He is somebody's puppet.
And so Biden has a neurological disorder. He has a stutter. You know, I do too. Do you know anybody who has one?
Yeah, my cousin had a stutter. Yeah. You know, it's just, you can't play into your feelings. You have to take this stuff seriously when it comes to our policy in our country.
Most people touched it lightly, if at all, and then moved on to bigger things. Dementia, the economy, country. One man we talked to, though, R.C. Pittman, he did not mind getting into it. He came with Bikers for Trump, and we chose to talk to him because we were interested in disability, and Pittman was in a transport chair. He said he couldn't walk very well.
Did you ever know anybody growing up or presently like Biden who has a stutter like I do?
Yeah, and we made fun of them, and we poked fun at them, and they didn't get offended. You know, the same thing with, you know, with me. I had big ears. They used to call me Dumbo when I was a kid. We have a guy that rides with us, one of our chapter members. It took his leg off from here down. So now instead of Geronimo up there on his, like mine says Casper. That's my road name. We changed his from Geronimo to Stumpy. I mean, did it offend him? Hell no, he's Stumpy. Would be the same as me saying, damn boy, can't you talk better than that? It's not degrading. You follow me? It just, you know, it's words. It's an expression of thought.
After we thanked him and moved on, I asked John what he thought.
I am interested in that concept of, like, you know, the difference between teasing and degrading.
Yeah, I actually thought that was interesting.
Well, and I wonder if his biker friend who's an amputee, you know, they call him Stumpy, like, does that secretly bother him or not?
Yeah, I did wonder about that. Like, can we have Stumpy's phone number?
If teasing is a thing between friends, Trump and Biden are clearly not friends. But again, John did not come here to think about how Trump's words affect Biden's feelings. Biden's a public figure and a politician. He came here to see how they land in the crowd and then beyond the crowd, outside in the world.
But I think that the concern among members of the disability community is that kids and teenagers are going to watch Trump say "tut tut tut" together and then think it's okay to then go do that to other people.
There is an aspect of that that you, it's unfortunate. Yeah.
One striking thing from our time in Ohio was the number of people we talked to who worked with kids, sometimes even kids with learning disabilities. Cheryl from Ohio, for example, she has a learning disability herself, so she feels especially connected to kids who struggle.
And if a kid asks you, why is the president making fun of, you know, people with disabilities, what would you say?
I tell them they're not actually making fun. They're just trying to, they are using those words to win. That's how you win. You're just finding a way for you to become the winner and they become the loser.
So it's like trash talking.
It's just trash talking.
I've worked in special education my whole life, so I definitely don't agree with that at all.
You don't agree with what?
Anybody making fun of people that have disabilities.
This is Shanna from Indiana. She didn't want to use her last name. Shanna has a special ed degree and taught middle schoolers with learning disabilities. I asked her if there was bullying or if kids made fun of each other in her school, and she said all the time.
If one of your kids said, hey, why is our president making fun of disabled people? Like, I thought you told us not to do that. What would you say to a kid as a teacher?
I say that regardless of what comes out of people's mouths, that we're to forgive them. And doesn't mean that they did it on purpose because our hearts are wicked.
And lastly, Susie Michaeloff from Ohio, who taught math for 3 decades.
This is small on the scale of what the kids are subjected to nowadays. So I think overall, he can show them he's a good leader. So when you look at what he's done and what he can do with a nation, then you have to just put that aside. You have to forgive that. So I forgive him for doing that.
I find it interesting that some of these teachers and special ed teachers could be so compassionate Monday through Friday and then go to a Trump rally on Saturday.
They're sending their prisoners to see us. They're sending and they're bringing them right to the border. I've seen the humanity and these humanity, these are bad. These are animals, okay? And we have to stop it.
Back in the hotel after the rally, John and I unpacked our thoughts about our day of interviews. We were both stuck on the people who worked with kids, particularly the special ed teachers.
And that doesn't mean that they're not compassionate on Saturday, but it's another level of Trump supporter to go to the rally. Just an odd juxtaposition to think of a really thoughtful, compassionate special ed teacher Monday through Friday serving their students and then getting up Saturday and going to this rally where the person's talking about bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they think of him as compassionate or not compassionate, or they just don't think about it?
I think people are attracted to Trump's power.
Just interesting to see the different slices of them, like the way they were in the Trump rally, the way they could be moved by that. But then there's this whole other side of them. Like, I believe that those people who said they had a friend who stutters, that they would be kind to that friend. Like, I could see that they would care about those people in context with those people. And that's all I have to say. There's no, like, squaring the two different versions of that person. There's, like, rally person, and then there's classroom person, and they're both inside the same person.
And that's what Trump is so good at, is pulling out the darker side of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that a person's a bad person. And it's not like every day, like you walk around in life and you're 60% good, 40% bad. But just Trump has a way of making the bad stuff okay.
This episode was produced by Kevin Townsend and edited by Claudine Abade. It was engineered by Rob Smirsiak, fact-checked by Yvonne Kim. Claudine Abade is the executive producer of Atlantic Audio, and Andrea Valdez is our managing editor. I'm Hannah Rosen. Thank you for listening.
This episode of Radio Atlantic is brought to you by Microsoft Copilot for Security. Completely integrated into your organization's security infrastructure, this AI companion is informed by 78 trillion signals daily to help you catch the threats others miss and reinforce your team's security posture efficiently. It synthesizes data from numerous sources and can analyze 500 lines of code in under a minute to put critical guidance at defenders' fingertips. It helps teams detect threats and take action in minutes instead of hours or days, which can reduce attack investigation time by up to 40%. Copilot also serves as a key second pair of eyes, upskilling junior analysts with advanced capabilities, which frees up senior staff to focus on strategic priorities, all while safeguarding your data privacy. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Copilot for Security.